When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we're back, and Saturday marks 2 years since NIL has begun, and everyone has a rather strong opinion on it. Someone who has been there the whole time and has played a big role is Jim Caval from Influencer. Always fantastic to catch up with Jim. Jim, thanks for the time. We appreciate it very much, and as we close in on this anniversary, your thoughts on where we are?
Paul, thanks a lot for having me, man. It's always great talking to you, and this is a surreal week as we get into now year three. Who would have thought of the NIL era? And I got to shout out the Birmingham Legion. Paul, I know you're a Birmingham guy, and they're doing big things here in Birmingham. Made it to the Final Eight of the national tournament with the MLS, so wanted to wear my jersey today, support them.
Well, it looks great. So where do you think we are as we, as you said, head for year three?
Well, I mean, first off, let's be honest. The passive, reactive nature of the NCAA has led us to a place where a lot of other folks outside of the schools in a lot of situations have gotten really, really, really involved when it comes to NIL, and the collectives being obviously the biggest figure in that category. Collectives right now are making up 76% of NIL transactions with athletes. And of course, most of the collective money is coming from donors, which seems like donors are feeling a lot of fatigue more and more, calling for the need for brands and fans to start participating as well when it comes to NIL. So, you know, there's a lot going on. Obviously, the NCAA memo yesterday came out, and that has to do with a lot of the new state laws that have come up. But just a very passive nature has led to a lot of other folks outside of the schools being involved in NIL.
Let's talk, Jim, about that memo from the NCAA. And it's a scary headline if you're on one or two sides of this. But for those of us who don't really believe in anything the NCAA says, help us understand what that memo meant, and is anyone going to abide by it? And if they don't, what's going to be done?
Well, listen, I talked about how reactive and passive the NCAA has been. When you go back to 2019, California comes out with their NIL bill. The NCAA had a shot to be proactive, and they had a shot to actually sue the state of California. And they didn't do that. And that was the beginning of a series of passive actions. The recommendations they came up with for NIL rules really called for schools to not be involved, which created a gap. And that gap was then, entered by these collectives. But here we are today, and schools and states are starting to be proactive. They're seeing that there's a need for the dollars from donors, businesses, and fans that the schools are already asking for school purposes, advertising, tickets, donor support. Those same folks want to know how they can donate and support NIL. And they're really struggling to figure out how to do that. And so the state law in Texas is just saying, hey, let the school and the collective work together to align those dollars. And while we're at it, let's put some more support in the school's hands to help athletes when they have questions, because they have a lot of them. And so the state of Texas did that. Others have followed. And now the NCAA reactively comes out with a memo saying you can't do a lot of these things. If they came out with that memo a year ago, the state of Texas never would have done this bill. But instead, 5 days before the bill goes into action, they come out with the memo after all this work has been done. It's just another example of a passive, reactive nature that's created gaps, forcing others to be proactive.
There was a concern at some time in the past, Jim, about enforcements and accountability. And I realize you're on the other side of that. But as you're on the side of helping players, helping universities, the collectives are another story. Is there any level of concern about what could be done, or is it just a do whatever you want and hope nobody really notices?
Well, I think the only way you create concern, Paul, and we know this, is you have to hold any regulations that do exist accountable. And doing that is tough, right? Like coming up with regulations is one thing, but actually penalizing the people that are violating rules is important. I always used to say, you know, when I look at NIL, it ironically makes me think about marijuana. When I'm in New York and I'm walking around nowadays in between meetings, what do I smell everywhere? I smell marijuana because it's legal to smoke marijuana in New York. But as I'm smelling it all over the blocks of New York City, I wonder how much of that marijuana was bought at a legal dispensary with taxes paid on it, and how much was still bought on the corner from somebody selling it under the table. And chances are way more than half was sold on the corner. NIL is very similar. How much of NIL has had taxes paid on it? When you go back to this past year and the 2022 returns, was all of the money that flowed into the athletes paid taxes on at the with the IRS? Probably not, probably less than half. But people feel okay about doing NIL the old way because it's legal. And I think that's just where we're at. And there's not any regulatory uniformity that is being held accountable to stop that from happening. And that's the pain we're all feeling.
Jim, we had Mac Brown on the other day from North Carolina, and we talked about NIL, but he said the story nobody's really talking about are the agents. And I'm not in that space like you are. What are we talking about here in terms of agents, both scrupulous and unscrupulous?
Well, I think, you know, agents have been very hesitant in how they've come down. You know, number one, the bigger agencies know that even if you sign an athlete for NIL representation in college, he or she could still leave you when they go to the pro level. And that's really the model that most of these agencies are based off of, is on-field representation, not off-field NIL representation, because on-field representation makes up a way bigger portion of the pro market. In the college market, it's different. There is no on-field representation, and all of the money is flowing through NIL, even if it's for on-field talents. And so agencies are in a painful spot because they can't really lock in an athlete to represent them as a pro, and they could represent them as a college athlete, and the athlete could still leave them the day before the draft. They also have to predict talent at a younger age. And, you know, a lot of people knew Devin Booker was going to be as good as he became in the NBA when he was a senior in high school, let alone when he was the sixth man at Kentucky. So the bigger agencies really have a lot of risk coming downstream, but athletes need representation. So a lot of new agencies have emerged, and, you know, some agencies and even collectives are doing contracts that take advantage of the athlete, which is another disadvantage to the athlete. There's no registration, there's no certification of any of these folks that are coming down into the college space to work with athletes.
Jim, before you go, you were on the vanguard of this and worked with a number of schools. That was 2 years ago when we talked about that. Today, how is your organization doing in this space, and what are you doing?
So Influencer is only making money from one place, and that is the school. That's who pays us. It's an annual fee. They pay us for either content delivery, where athletes can get access to pictures and videos so that they can share them to their social media channels. So if you follow an athlete on social and they share a picture of them playing, usually it comes from us. We've done that since 2017 for more than 200 schools, 3,000 teams across the country. When NIL started in 2021, we added a new product that schools pay us for, which is our NIL exchange. And that processes all the communication, contracts, and payments between collectives, brands, fans, and athletes at all of our schools. We work with about 230, as I said. So we've seen over $100 million in NIL activity in these first 3 years through our NIL exchanges, whether it's the reporting or the payments of all these deals. And that's where our data comes from, whether it's the average transaction size of $2,000, or whether it's the fact that 76%, as I said earlier, of the money coming into the system comes from collectives to athletes. And so we've really become the back office for NIL, and all of our money comes from annual contracts with the institutions.
Jim Cavell, as we reach the 2-year anniversary of NIL, we'll take a short break here. Much more to come on the program. Nicole Arabeck on what the NCAA is trying to do in its latest release. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Nicole Arabat coming up in just a few minutes. How about AC right now from Bangladesh?
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, how many times Jim would have to quit the show? Mr. Feinbaum, he doesn't take your advice. I took your advice, man. It helped me a lot. From my experience, I would tell you, Jim, Mr. Feinbaum said, AC, you're not a great caller. You need to work on your game. I took a timeout like a little baby. I worked on my game. I worked on my trash talking. This is so golden, Mr. Feinbaum. And you're the legendary caller, Jim. So if you say something, you got to back it up. So I don't know. Did you play baseball? I don't know. I do not care because this is my show. This is my stadium. This is Mr. Feinbaum's stadium. This is our show. As a matter of fact, Jim, I know you said last week, DC, JC, whatever your name is, yeah, I'm taking page 54. I don't care about your page 54. I will snatch it from you. If I want, I will take it from you like a shark because I'm always hungry, Mr. Feinbaum. Mr. Feinbaum, are you hungry like AC?
I am hungry, AC. I'm glad you mentioned that.
That's right. But I'm going to make you feel starving. Because you told me, AC, you got to work on your game. I did, man. I want you to work on your game. I want you to be the shark. I want you to be in the attack mode. You know what I'm saying? I want you to start attacking like a wild shark, Mr. Feinbaum. That's what you turned me into. You turned me into a complete monster. Each morning I wake up, I thank God, and I also thank you for making me the caller that I am today. But here's the thing. I love and respect legend. I don't care what he did in the past. Some of the things he says, God, I laugh like no tomorrow. And he takes a shot at me, I really don't care. Because I have a thick skin, Mr. Feinbaum. Jim always gets rattled. But you mentioned about someone's past. Dude, you are so dumb, Jim. So, legend, on behalf of Jim, I apologize what he said to you. Let's face it, Jim would forever be Jim from Tuscaloosa, because he needs Mr. Feinbaum's show to survive 4 hours. Without it, he's nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Jim, apologize. Now, how about this? You're just another cockroach that AC knows. So call in, be the man, tell me you can show your proof that you played baseball. We can go on about your life, but AC doesn't care because I'm coming for page 54 because I'm starving. Mr. Feinbaum, I love you, I love you, I love you. You can put that on page 54, Mr. Feinbaum. Holla.
All Good is up next. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. I appreciate your last guest talking about NIL, and I just want to touch on that. I usually watch your show. I've never called before, but I watch your show, and I come in from Orlando. I'm in Utah. I haven't seen what the screen's going to say I'm from, but I came in from Orlando late Monday night, and woke up Tuesday and had the next day off. So I sat and the remote control was over on the other side of the couch. So I was too tired to go get it and turn the show on. So I ESPN rolled and Outside the Lines came up, and I don't usually watch Outside the Lines, but like I said, I was really tired from a vacation. So I let it roll and it was about the dogs. And it was saying how it was trying to dog them out. And it was saying that they are, what did they say? A speed race, drag race. Their football team is drag racing and it's become a problem. And I know the thing that happened there is tragic. And I'm a Dogs fan. I'm from North Georgia. I moved out here to Utah, but I'm from North Georgia. I'm a dog. And I don't know if they can really run that story and it not be considered malicious, because in my view, the real story here is what is NIL going to do to our campuses? If you're going to cover half the story, cover the other half. And they were talking about all the incidences since 2021 with drag racing. Well, these boys out here with Camaros now, you know, before they were coming to school with a backpack. So I just want to plant that seed out there.
If I understand you correctly, you're suggesting that because of all the money, that would lead to breaking rules and breaking laws? Do I understand you correctly?
All I'm saying is that
I'm just trying to understand how the report was malicious, considering it was fact. I mean, you may not have agreed with every aspect. You may not have agreed with the fact they did it, but what was malicious about it?
So it was malicious as in acting like Kirby had something to do with something that he has never been able to prepare for before.
I'm just trying to understand, because malicious is a really, it's an actionable word from a legal standpoint. I'm questioning how different Georgia is than any other school. I'm just trying to understand what was malicious, but I don't think I'm going to get an answer from you.
Well, Georgia's got, I don't know the numbers exactly, but I would think Georgia has the most high-paid NIL deals as one team can have on right now.
How would, regardless of whether the players were making nothing or $1 million a player, how does that forgive or how do you look past not only for driving, but this latest article that came out today involves allegations of domestic abuse. I read a statement from the university earlier. I'm just trying to understand what the media is supposed to do.
I would just say cover the full story. It's not obviously money's fault that they are drag racing.
Aren't they covering it?
They're covering it as if it's a Georgia culture issue.
Is it not?
Say that again.
It is happening at Georgia.
It is happening. Yes, I'm not saying that the story is
anywhere.
I don't think anywhere in that report
it said that Georgia is the only school that's ever had a problem with this. They were just talking about
Georgia happens to be the biggest football program in the country right now. Yeah, I don't think the story mentioned that NIL is funding it either.
I'm just simply going to have to accept the fact that I don't understand your premise, but that's okay. Not the first time. Randy is in Georgia. Randy, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Randy, we're doing great.
Good day. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get some thoughts on Jimbo Fisher this year. I think it's Metro Break season for him. It's about time for him to perform at the Stadium. It's been a few years since he's done anything there. What do you think about him this year?
I think it's a critical year because another losing season, and you just have to accept the fact that great players are not going to make any difference. I happen to believe, Randy, that they're going to have a big bounce back year. So this is a more pertinent conversation at the end of the year. But yeah, there's pressure. There's always pressure when you make $10 million a year and you have a $75 million buyout. We'll take a break. More to come. Nicole Auerbach, next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So what is up with the NCAA saying schools now must comply with its NIL rules, even though they are conflicting with state rules? Sounds like a Supreme Court case in the making, but what do I know? Nicole Auerbach joining us from The Athletic to talk about that and so many other things. Nicole, thanks for the time. So the NCAA getting tough all of a sudden. Sounds great. What's it mean, and can they do anything about it?
Well, they have been sending memos and messages and clarifications out for a while now, trying to assert some authority. But until there's some real bite behind it, I don't know that we'll necessarily see people change behaviors. We've already heard from administrators in the states that have aggressive NIL laws that they're going to follow the state law. And it's important to remember that NCAA rules are not laws, even though for a long time people acted like breaking an NCAA rule was like breaking the law. It's not. And so you have a lot of administrators and school officials who actually work directly with their state reps to get some of these laws enacted. And I don't think that they're going to suddenly not follow the state law, especially when it allows them a little bit more direct involvement in NIL and the ability to offer perks like club seating or different ticket packages for people who have donated to collectives. I think this is going to come to a head at some point with someone challenging, you know, if they're breaking an NCAA rule by following a state law, what does that mean? And a real challenge to the NCAA's authority to actually enforce rules around NIL.
Nicole, I understand the NCAA wanting to send a paper trail everywhere. I mean, I don't know what else they do up there in Indianapolis other than issue memos. But is this really a fight that they want, considering their diminished view or perception in the world of almost anyone who matters inside this space?
Well, this is the big question. I mean, it's clearly we're in this time where the NCAA is actual power has never felt weaker. And the fact that we had a string of decisions coming down and punishments coming down for various NCAA violations in the last week or so, and the reaction from everyone in college sports and fans was just a collective shrug, shows that there really isn't anything deterring bad behavior. If people aren't really being punished very heavily for violations, if these cases are taking years and years to be settled, and also, again, people just don't feel like there is actual repercussions for any actions because no one's actually been hit real hard, you know, with an NCAA violation or any issues around inducements or pay for play since the NIL era began. It doesn't really feel like there is any deterrent for any behavior that is boundary pushing or possibly against the rules. And that's really what so much of this stuff comes down to, Paul. And I know we've talked so much over the years about congressional involvement and state legislatures, but other people are making these decisions for the NCAA. Other people and the courts are charting the course for the NCAA moving forward, and they've been put in this position because they were not proactive on any of these issues. So it's hard to imagine the NCAA suddenly coming up with some solutions or being proactive or figuring out a way forward on this when they have been so adamant that they don't want athletes to be considered employees. And they've pushed back on all of these state laws and every effort that has come to empower the athletes or, you know, directly compensate them more?
Nicole, as you well know, we are knocking on the door of a year out when, you know, so many of these big moves that were made exactly a year ago went into effect. I'm speaking in particular about the Big Ten with the year anniversary coming up this week with Southern Cal and UCLA. We know about that. We know about the SEC figuring out its path forward. The rest of college football seems quiet at the moment, but there's always these rumors out there. You're everywhere in this country talking to administrators, leaders, coaches. What do you think is the next move, if there is one, in terms of conference alignment?
Well, it seems hard to imagine something that would actually blindside people in the same way that Texas and OU and USC and UCLA did, because, you know, everyone's been on high alert, and it's so much has played out publicly in terms of knowing, you know, which schools the Big 12 has been interested in and who they've flirted with and who's flirted back with them, and even understanding the angst inside of the ACC. And certainly a step that could happen at some point would be someone challenging the grant of rights to try to get out of the ACC prior to 2036. But until someone does that, you know, I think you have to assume that those schools are not available for other leagues that might be interested in poaching them. And therefore, that brings you back again to the power struggle between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 as we wait for this Pac-12 media deal. And you mentioned, you know, there's other schools out there, the UConn's, UNLV, SMU, San Diego State, other schools that have been in the news that people are aware of. So I don't know that anything would necessarily sneak up on anyone, because I feel like we've all kind of scribbled out on our cocktail napkins and mapped out all of the potential scenarios that could come. But I personally, you know, I don't want massive consolidation and realignment to consider. I think college sports is healthiest when you have regional balance, and you have different conferences in different parts of the country, and those regional ties and rivalries and all of the history and all the pieces of college sports that we love. But I do think people do seem prepared for all of the different potential outcomes that could happen here, especially, again, with that power struggle with Colorado and Arizona potentially at the center of it. And again, you know, someday something could happen with the ACC. But again, I think people are more well-versed in all of this than they had been when a year ago, like on this very day a year ago, people felt like things had pretty much quieted down. All the response moves to the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma had seemingly happened, and people were moving on. And so I don't think you'll have anything that could blindside people as much as that one did, and as much as Texas and OU did initially.
Nicole, I know you live in the Big Ten area and see a lot of that, as well as the rest of the country, which brings me to the Big Ten in the SEC. There seemed to be quite a rift, especially around COVID. Greg Sankey and Kevin Warren never saw eye to eye, but there seems to be a warming of the relationship with Tony Petitti, the new commissioner, Greg Sankey. And I wonder, as we spitball here, you know, what that could mean, the fact that these two power conferences that pretty much run the sport of college football and everything else for that matter, you know, growing closer together in terms of impacting the future of intercollegiate athletics.
Yeah, I would agree with your characterization of a warming relationship for sure, since Tony Petitti has gotten into office in the Big Ten. And I think it's really important. When that job opened and I was talking to people at different campuses in different leagues outside of the Big Ten, but particularly, you know, within the Big Ten footprint, administrators, coaches, and people, everyone wanted to have a leader who could be collaborative and work with the SEC on charting the course forward, on what all this might look like. Obviously, there's a lot of interest that would align, especially when you think about, you know, okay, how did you want to structure the 12-team playoff format? And having at-large spots is going to benefit both of those leagues, because those are the teams that, if we do the math for the last 9 years, those are the leagues that would fill a lot of those spots. So there's a lot of places that I think those two leagues generally do align with and can work together on. And I think you'll see that. But I think obviously you want, you know, everyone to be checks and balances to each other and have healthy dialogues and conversations and not agree on everything. But I do think that you're going to see more collaboration across the board. There's going to be tension among the commissioners, but I don't think you can get as tense as it was, again, around the COVID decision-making process, when the playoff expansion process stalled out as well. I think that hopefully we'll be in a better place moving forward, because you do have two leagues that are really going to be head and shoulders above everybody else from a monetary standpoint. And again, the competitiveness level, you have to think in a lot of the major sports, they're going to be there. So they really have an opportunity to lead on a number of different issues and everything moving forward. And so I would imagine that you'll see interest aligned and hopefully more collaboration, just because I think it's necessary if you believe that people within college sports have power and have control and can be proactive in any of these spaces moving forward. You do need that collaborative effort from the two most powerful leagues.
Nicole, before you go, we're about to hit media day season everywhere, and real football conversation is going to begin. So I'm curious what your thoughts are, starting with the Big Ten, because it does look fairly familiar. Ohio State and Michigan are figuring prominently. Penn State is being mentioned. What do you sense coming out of media days up there and really the battle for the playoffs, especially between two, maybe three Big Ten schools?
Yeah, I think it is those three schools, and Penn State is certainly an off-season darling. I think they'll be, one of those playoff dark horse picks because of what they're bringing back. They were so young last year, and they just had such major impact players and contributors from those youthful positions. And obviously people are excited from Drew Allar to be quarterback. A lot of people wanted to see him more even last year. And so they're one of those teams, much like a Florida State, I think, that people are really excited about and saw them take a step last year, expect them to take another step. But the challenge in the Big Ten, much as it is in the SEC West, is the division, the East, and the fact that, one of those teams will block the other two from getting to a Big Ten championship game this year, since they still have divisions. And also, that's going to change who gets to make the playoff again in the final year of the 14 playoff. I think Michigan is probably best positioned, I think, to get back there again, but you can never count Ohio State out. And again, I'm very excited to see Penn State. I also think the buzz coming out of Big Ten Media Day will probably also be about Wisconsin as we get closer to seeing what Luke Fickell Wisconsin looks like and Phil Longo's offense, and an offense really that just throws the ball quite a lot more than we've been used to seeing for Wisconsin. I think there'll also be buzz about Matt Rhule, what he's done on the recruiting trail as he tries to build Nebraska back to where they want to be.
Great stuff. Nicole Auerbach, always one of our favorite guests, so we appreciate her joining us as we head to the break right here. Nicole from The Athletic. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
And we're back. Wednesday afternoon, and let's check in with Squid, who is up next. Hey, Squid.
What's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Oh, did I cut you? I'm sorry. I'm trying to get somebody at the gas station. Anyway, Paul, got to talk to you a little bit about something I just heard on the show there.
Yes.
You said the NIL does not, it has no causation, I would say, towards the irresponsibility in driving habits of college players or, buying faster cars, which you can see that having the amount of money that you can from an NIL deal, you're going to be able to buy a better car, a faster car. Does that make you more reckless? No. But the other side of this is not just happening in Georgia. And you know that. It's just being covered more stringently because of the recent tragedy. And
no, Squid, let me quickly agree with you on that. I know Georgia fans are very upset with this reporter Judd at the AJC and their. But the point is, when someone dies, it brings a spotlight on the university. And, you know, Jalen Carter didn't help the situation, and neither has anything else. And I am told by friends at Georgia that it's been dealt with, that most of what you're reading about is past tense, all of it's past tense. And I've had two conversations with Kirby Smart in recent weeks about culture, and I do not believe there is a systemic culture problem at Georgia, but that's not going to stop the media from reporting on things that they learn about what has transpired in the past. And by the way, what do fast cars have to do with domestic violence allegations?
You know, fast cars and you know, pretty women, I guess. You know, money.
It changes your mindset. From the beginning of time. I don't think you can lay NIL off on that, can you?
Well, I mean, you feel a little bit more powerful when you got a few bills in your pocket. Don't know why, but it seems.
Squid,
that,
you sound like a reasonably Squid. You sound like a reasonably young guy. Players have had bills in their pocket for as long as I can remember.
And domestic violence obviously falls. And it's not. I'm not going to say that it's a culture thing. I'm not going to say it's an NIL thing. It definitely has to do with.
But I do get my feathers ruffled a little bit when somebody tries to insinuate that because of NIL, you're going to have a lot more driving issues. That one created and caused a death. Another in this article today deals with domestic violence allegations. I mean, I don't think NIL has one thing to do with that.
You're right. As far as domestic violence goes, no, NIL has nothing to do with that. However, as athletes, we have seen multiple occasions where athletes have, and domestic violence is not just an athletic issue. You know, it's all across the board from all walks of life.
In terms of media coverage, I realize apples don't equal oranges, but would you not agree that the situation involving Brandon Miller received pretty massive media coverage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Not just Georgia that's being picked on here.
No, it's not. But, you know, it feels like every time we see another AJC article about something happening at Georgia, it's getting more and more coverage. And I guess, you know,
Squid,
that just comes to the
Squid, explain this to me, because I don't know anything about the industry, but Do you think the AJC sits around in their ivory tower in Atlanta and says, "How can we get Georgia today?"
Oh yeah, you know most of those guys are probably tech fans, so I would say.
I mean, Squid, do you realize the AJC owns a sports website called Dog Nation?
Oh yeah, I do.
Okay.
I know that.
I mean, I just wondered. And I don't know anybody at the AJC anymore. I don't know what their mentality is. We had the reporter on a few weeks ago. He sounded like a pretty knowledgeable investigative reporter. But it just seems to me that there is at least a perception among some Georgia fans that this digital news outlet is out to get Georgia. And you're just contributing to that with this phone call here.
It's most Georgia. Most Georgia fans would agree with that. What we've picked out on our Twitter threads. I mean, you can go through the list of well-known, you know, Georgia Twitter handles, a lot of big posts about how the AJC really likes to pick out the negative that is associated with Georgia. Just, you know,
Squared. I was at the national championship game in Los Angeles. I was at the semifinal games in Atlanta. I remember having an endless number of AJC reporters on our show talking about the game. They don't only pick out the negative. They did cover the. I mean, I just don't understand how these perceptions are formed. And I'll lean on the audience to help educate the rest of us. I read the article today. I'm no more concerned about the. I mean, I'm not that concerned about the issue because I've already reported what I just got through telling you that I don't think there is a culture issue anymore. I think there was perhaps one. And I believe Kirby Smart has worked diligently on trying to correct it.
Right, he has. And, you know, this is more or less just a public service announcement to any AJC fans, or let's say that somebody from the AJC is listening and can pass along the messages. Quit the crap and go Dogs. And that's that.
There it is.
Thank you,
no better advice ever given to a news organization. We will take a break. More to come right after this.